stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, March 21st.
Good morning.
I think it was the first day of spring yesterday.
Was it? I didn't even remember.
Yeah.
Really? Yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, yeah.
No more rain.
No more rain for you,
please.
Huh? Oh, my God. It rained two times this year, and you're like bitching about it.
I am bitching about it.
I don't understand.
I hate it. It makes me gloomy and
really? Is that because you grew up with it or what? I mean,
maybe.
I'm sure you guys had a lot of rain.
Oh,
right?
It rained all the time.
Yeah.
It rained and snowed all the time.
That's probably why, yeah.
I guess so.
Where I grew up, there was not a lot of rain, so.
No.
You know.
Yeah, that's because right, you're here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But here, too, I mean, there's no rain, you know.
Yeah.
So are you ready for the vacation?
I am.
Only two more days.
I know. Well, for you. I still have a lot of work to do until I go.
Really?
Yeah.
When do you go? What day?
I'm leaving on Tuesday.
Oh, on Tuesday. Okay.
But, well, I have so much I'm doing, too. I'm casting for, whoops, there's a top on it, I swear, it's fine.
Good.
I knocked over my drink.
She's
again.
Drinking muddy water.
You know, it's so good because I did have wine last night. I promised I wouldn't drink again. Uh-huh. I had wine last night. But it was good. Like, I went out and caught up with a friend, and I don't know, everything affects me, like, because I haven't drank in so long, so it just, I'm like, I feel just gross.
Yeah.
But I didn't even have, I had, like, two glasses of wine. That's it.
That's all?
And I'm, I feel, bleh, yeah, it's gross. So, I have my famous little drink here, whoops, I just spilled all over it. I'll clean that up later, I promise. My green's back. But I'm telling you, it makes me feel amazing. It's like,
really?
Okay, I feel hungover, have a green's back.
Really? And what flavor does it have? Does it have any flavor?
It's like chocolate. It tastes like paste.
Oh, really?
Like chocolate paste.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know. But it like makes you feel amazing after.
Yeah, really? I'll have to try that.
Yeah. But anyway, so I was saying I'm casting for Millionaire Matchmaker right now on the side.
Wow.
So anyone out there that lives in the LA area who'd like to be on the show can tweet me.
Can I be too if I'm not a millionaire? No, it doesn't work.
No.
I'll have to find a different show.
Well, no, I mean, we can figure it out. We can figure it out.
They do have the ones where the woman is the millionaire,
they do.
Right?
We actually,
guy
this year they're actually going to do two gay episodes, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I think there's the girl, like, millionaire or whatever. I don't know how many episodes of that. And
right.
And, of course, the regular ones.
Yeah.
And then a surprise one.
Oh, yeah?
Talk about it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, so you're involved in the production, right? Behind the scenes type of a thing, right?
Kind of so, yeah.
Yeah.
Someone I know is, you know, working there.
Oh, okay.
Well, I got involved randomly. I just really know people.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, so I just started helping and sending people in. They're like, oh, well, do you want to work? Well, why not?
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay.
Might as well, yeah.
Yeah, so.
And you have what it takes. So now you're going to look for people? Is that what you're
doing?
Yeah,
I've been doing that. And they're seeing people starting this week. So I've been so busy. So I have, like, this. I have that. Then I have, like, my other life and, like, events. And I'm like, shit. I have a callback tomorrow for the Harley thing.
Nice.
So I'll be wearing the same thing again for
again.
The third
For the third time.
Row.
That's okay.
Yes.
It looks good. So.
Yeah. Oh, you're just because there's boobage and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the leather pants and everything.
Oh, great. I'm sure like when I come in tomorrow, people are going to be like, what the
Yeah.
Hell
is he checking me out?
Yeah. But they're going to laugh too. They'll be like, does she have any other clothes? All she ever wears.
Yeah.
They have to wear the same damn thing.
Yeah. Again. Well, if you do, then they know. You know, that's what they expect.
But anyway, so that's what's going on.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Anything new planned for the weekend?
I was going to go to Val's play, but that got moved. Mm. The Mark Twain play that is in the cemetery. So it's actually going to be next weekend and the weekend after. But I'm really excited to go to that. I think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still trying to get him to to come into the show. But, you know, I think it's great because he wrote, stars, and directs in this one-man play.
Right.
On Plays Mark Twain.
And that's who? People don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, Val Kilmer.
Okay,
that's
Val Kilmer. Excuse me. I just forgot the name.
Anyway, too close to home. But, yeah, so I think it's phenomenal. And yeah. I'm really excited for him and everything. And but, yeah, I got pushed to the following next 2 weeks.
Okay, cool.
But, yeah, and he's trying to do a movie about it. He's trying to raise awareness.
On Mark Twain, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be dope because he's performing in the cemetery, the Hollywood Cemetery.
Oh, wow.
So how cool is that?
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy weird, but cool. It's going to be freaking phenomenal.
So they actually set up stages there and stuff?
Yeah, they
really?
Do. Well, on Saturday, have you ever been to the Cinespia on Saturday nights?
No, I've just been there driving around, but okay. I've never really been to any performance
there.
You
just hang out in the cemetery. Yeah, so,
yeah, because somebody took me there.
You're creepy weirdo.
Yeah, why are you taking me to the cemetery? Well, you know, it's a tourist attraction. I said, okay, fine. You know?
Well, on Saturday nights in the summer, actually in the spring, I think is when it starts, they have Cinespia, which is like they have a movie, like old movies that play on the side of the building, right. And you just like sit there and bring cheese and wine and with friends and chill out and watch
sitting in the cemetery.
Old movies. Yeah, but it's fun. But it's gonna be awesome to have like a play. That's gonna be creepy weird. I'm actually excited, but I like that weird.
Yeah,
stuff,
you like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Zombies and everything.
I know, we had this discussion.
Dead
yes,
people.
I do. Anyway.
All right, awesome. Well, we've got two very beautiful guests in the studio, and they're special guests as well. So we're gonna bring them in. And we have Shirley in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Brian.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good. Good. Brigetta, why don't you go ahead and introduce them to us? Tell us why they're here.
Well, you just did. I'm kidding. they have a movie coming out that's called Holy Rollers, which I think is really awesome. And you guys can actually tell about it because I'm just not going to do it as well as you will.
Yeah.
But I think it's an incredible story. I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what I suggest we do is maybe play the trailer before we get started so people know what we're talking about.
Cool.
And this is the tag is the true story of card counting Christians. And I think that's important to know.
Mm-hmm.
So let's play the trailer for a moment and
the church
we'll come
does
back
not approve of gambling. There are various forms of this evil, but they are all bad and should not be indulged in.
He told us they were probably going to become missionaries. We thought, wonderful. And things had a way of changing.
Right.
I was really excited when I heard about blackjack team of all Christians. I was like, that's ridiculous.
I play on a blackjack team, most of you know. One thing that makes our team very different is that we're almost entirely made up of Christians.
It doesn't seem like one of the most noble things a person could do in the world, but at least we can liberate the money from the clutches of those who would use it for ill purposes. I mean, that's a start.
It's so far in the left field to think that someone would be a professional blackjack player, let alone have a whole team. And the fact that everyone we knew was in ministry of some sort was just awesome.
I knew that there were good, godly people who cared about Jesus and cared about integrity and cared about me. That's one of the main reasons that I joined.
Every time that I'd go into a casino, I would pray, like, God, bless me, you know?
Those two things going together never gets old.
Going to baptize someone and then go gamble? Poetic justice.
When we walk in a casino, pretty much everyone stops and watches us play. We're dealing with betting hands and winning and losing hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I love it that there's $111,000 in here, a bunch of sand.
Every once in a while, you'll get people that are...
Whoops, okay. So this is it. I think it gives us a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
So welcome. So let's introduce you. Brian, are you originally from L.A.?
No, I am not. I'm from Seattle area originally.
Oh, Seattle.
Yes.
Well, you grew up in the nice areas, and then you moved here.
Yeah, bright and sunny.
To the jungle, huh?
Yes, correct.
How long have you been here?
I think about 6 years now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And what made you decide to move? Wanting to make movies and
I
stuff?
I wanted sunshine.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I needed that. I needed to be able to be outside every once in a while.
Yeah, so. That's true. It does rain a lot in Seattle.
This is true. That's why I'm not in Seattle.
Yeah, that's why you're
that's
not going to move
I'm
there,
here.
Right?
Never.
You would die there with
I
your
would.
2 days of rain.
Yeah, of rain, and she's had enough, you know?
I'm melting. Exactly. I'm melting.
And one of them, she had to run a semi-marathon, right?
A 5K.
A 5K, okay. Well, she still, I mean, out of all the days of the year, that's the day she had to run.
In the rain.
It had to rain. Then.
At least she stayed cool, though.
Yeah.
Wet and cold and wet. Take it how you want.
Yeah. Were you totally drenched? I mean, it was pouring, huh, in the morning. Yeah.
It was really bad. It was awful. Yeah.
I can tell you're probably irritated.
I hate the rain. If it's like it's going to rain, I'm going to change the subject. If it's going to rain, then let it lightning.
Okay.
Let it be cool. Let it be like, you know.
Okay.
Anyway.
The hell with the rain. You know, enough of that. Can we say hell around you guys, or is that not a good thing?
That's fine with me.
Yeah. Surely.
Okay with hell.
Yeah. Because you guys are Christians. We have to sort of like be careful, you know. So
I'm a Christian, you numbwit. Yeah. And I've got a mouth on me. And I went to Catholic school.
Okay.
So.
But we don't know.
I got a dirty mouth.
Yeah, but we don't know how much they're into the religion and stuff. So, you know, you kind of want to respect people. But.
I'm actually not into religion.
No, not at all, huh?
I'm into faith.
Yeah.
Religion okay, is a bunch of laws good. And regulations and rules.
There you go. Okay. Sounds good to me. That's pretty much where I am. So, Shirley, and where are you originally from?
I'm from San Diego.
Oh, are you? So you were born there in San Diego.
I'm a native.
Yeah, I wanted to tell everybody that you actually made a trip down here for the show, and we definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, that's
awesome. You know, that's a long drive, huh? 3 hours in the morning? My God.
Yeah. You're awesome.
You guys are so great. Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. So tell us, how did you guys meet?
Well, I met one of the guys that started this blackjack team. You know, I grew up with him in Seattle. So I had known him for a long time, and he was... you know, just doing the normal thing. He went to college, got his math degree, was doing a little teaching, you know, waiting tables a little bit. And then all of a sudden he was playing professional blackjack.
Yeah.
And I would go, you know, up there to visit every once in a while, and he would tell me about it. And, you know, one day I think we went to lunch and he had under the table like 80 grand in cash.
Wow.
That he pulled out and he showed to me, and I was like, this is ridiculous. And I was instantly just, you know, you know, engrossed by the topic and just the idea that, you know, someone would play professional blackjack for a living. And, you know, that's how I got into it and, you know, started making the film. And that's when I met Shirley and, you know, interviewed her for the film and as well. So, and the crazy thing about this, I mean, you heard a little bit in the trailer, but the crazy thing is that most of these people, they started this blackjack team, but they met each other through their churches and, you know, through different ministries and stuff.
Wow.
You know, so a guy would be at church and his elder or his pastor would tell him, oh, hey, have you met this guy? He, you know, he plays blackjack. And they say, what? You know, and they'd be interested and they'd start talking to the guys and, you know, it grew out of this community. And all of a sudden they had like 25 people, you know, playing blackjack that were all involved with, you know, their churches and that were pastors and ministers and going, you know, for a couple of days a month to play blackjack in Vegas. And, you know, they won over the time I was filming, they won $3.2 million in 3 years, I think.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that they took from casinos.
Now, do they give back to the church with it?
That's a question. Yeah, they get that. We get that question a lot.
Yeah.
I think everybody, there were so many different people that had all different, you know, ways of dealing with the money. I think Shirley has a good, you know, she did something different than most people. I think a lot of people did tie the percentage, you know, or, you know, but there's with 25 different people, they had different beliefs and they all did different, you know, things with their money. No, there was no regulation or, you know, team rule that said you need to give this percentage to a church or anything.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Shirley, how did you get involved in this?
So there were a couple of pastors that were in town for a church planting conference. And my husband connected with them and they started sharing their story with him. And he said, wait, I need to call my wife to hear the story. And it just kind of flourished from there and joined the team. Here we are.
I think it's important to know who you are as far as your background. And I mean, you and your husband work in ministry, right?
Right. One of the beautiful things you were asking, do we give back to the church? Mm-hmm. One of the great things that many of the people on the team were actually, we call them church planters. Mm-hmm. We're not necessarily part of a big church or a mega church, but what they do is they have to have a full-time job because they're out trying to share the gospel and start a small church community that's very relevant and meaningful and caring and loving for the community around them.
Right.
And so you can't necessarily say, hey, I'm going to quit my job and go do this.
Right.
It's something where you do it, you live it. This is part of what we think we're called to do, but at the same time, we need to have a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
So what a lot of people did on the team is that they actually were able to fund their family, their ministry, basically, okay. and not necessarily, I don't want to say it be a burden, but in a small church environment, it can be somewhat of a burden to be able to have to, you know, take a salary to provide for a family. So mm-hmm. yeah. it ended up being really good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, sounds good. So so when you met that guy, did he have a team already?
Yeah. So Colin okay. started playing, you know, I think 7 years ago or something, and he was just playing with a friend. He actually started with his own money, just $2,000, and he went to a casino and just, you know, tested it out and tried some strategies that he learned online, and he wasn't doing everything correct, and he was kind of, you know, he had a really high risk that he would have lost everything, but he got lucky in the beginning. And mm-hmm. then as he went along, he learned more and more, and then he started playing with a couple other guys, you know, and they created their small team of like three or four guys, and then eventually, you know, it spread, you know, and became this big thing. They weren't really trying to grow a huge, you know, blackjack team, but mm-hmm. people wanted in on it. They liked the idea.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, why do they need a team in order to do this?
Well, it's something where you need a large bankroll. So, you know, it's sometimes okay. the team had more than $1 million on cash sitting on hand because you had to be able to take swings up or down. A lot of times you could lose a couple hundred thousand dollars in a couple months. And over time, you're gonna win, and you know, but in the short run, there's a lot of dips. Right. So you need to be able to handle those dips. So if you were playing on your own, you would need, you know, several hundred thousand dollars, and most of the people on this team, okay. you know, had $1,000 in their bank account.
Right.
So with this movie out and everything, I mean, now obviously names are changed and whatnot. No, yes, right.
Some, yeah.
So everyone knows now. Like,
right.
this is the team. This
right.
is what's going on. You've just been had, Vegas. Like, you know what I mean? Which I think is kind of awesome. But so what now? Are you guys still continuing but just kind of being more in disguise? Or like what?
You know, most of us are off the team at this point. Okay. Well, everyone's actually technically
yeah,
off the team.
The team finally ended. Yeah,
yeah. Ended.
Okay.
It did.
Just recently. But.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, no details.
it actually did. At first, we were saying, yeah, it kind of ended in the form it was in, but now it has like officially ended. And there's like two guys on the team that still are playing with like a small bankroll on their own, but there's no grand team with millions of dollars anymore.
Why?
It's a time thing, honestly. Like
okay.
It's something that not everybody wants to do forever.
Right.
For one, like it is a like grind. It's like mm-hmm. a normal job when you're having to go to the blackjack table and sit there for 10 hours, you know, it becomes less fun and more work.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, you know, the blackjack player, you know, the way they were playing, like, can only last a couple of years, really, before they've been kicked out everywhere.
Because, you know, okay.
Yeah. So,
I can't walk into a casino in Vegas. So.
Oh, really? They know you, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So that's part of the reason as well,
okay,
that there
right,
is a, there's a lifespan that you have.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I was going to say, what about going to like Atlantic City? Are you just like your face is everywhere? Like they're in the system? And
pretty much
it.
Everywhere.
Okay. Everywhere.
Yeah.
You can walk into a casino and, you know, in the Bahamas that you've never been to before in mm-hmm. your life, and they could still have your picture there.
Got it.
Oh, before you even sit down at the table, you can walk up and they've flyered you already, so they know what you look like.
Right. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning again.
Sorry, I mean, I know. No. You like your skirt?
Yeah, you always jump to the end.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. But we still got some
okay.
time. We'll get there. I just wanted to know how this idea came about. I mean, you know, this guy was playing blackjack,
yes.
right? And so he was just playing straight blackjack, right?
Right? Yes.
And he liked
that.
He was
counting cards, and, you know,
he was counting
yeah,
cards already
was.
On his
yeah.
own.
He wasn't. Most, you know, Colin and other people on the team, they wouldn't touch gambling without, like, actually knowing they could beat it.
Wow.
So, you know, most of the guys on the team had never been in a casino before.
Right.
They'd never, you know, they would never play slots, never put a quarter in a slot machine because they know
right.
that that's a losing game.
Right.
So Colin was very prepped when he went in. Like uh-huh. I said, he was, you know, he didn't quite have everything down, and he was taking a little higher risk than he should have when he started. But after, you know, probably, you know, however long, a few months, he learned more and more about it. And, you know,
yeah.
basically the team, what happened was he actually tried to get out of blackjack. He was getting tired of it already,
yeah.
Him and his couple friends. And they said, okay, let's do something more safe, more secure, a better investment. So they moved into real estate.
Really?
Yeah. And
that,
you know,
that was a gamble.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They quickly realized it was much more of
wow.
a gamble than what they had been doing before, and
wow.
you know, realized they weren't making money at that. And then they said, well, you know, hey, why don't we play blackjack again? And at the same time, some people from their church had come to them and said, hey, will you train me? So they just said, sure, why not have other people play for us? We don't have to do the work.
That's true, yeah. Now, how did people find out about it? How did other people find out about it?
Just through the church.
It was very organic. You actually had to be recommended by someone on the team, and that held a lot of weight. You didn't want to recommend someone that you didn't have complete trust in.
Right.
Because, you know, again, you're dealing with these people having hundreds of thousands of dollars in their possession, and it was really based on a trust environment.
Right.
Right. Now, I mean, where does greed come into all this?
You tell me.
I mean, yeah, isn't that a sin?
The temptation, I'm sure, is there for many. I think to deny that any temptation was there would be to lie to yourself, probably. I mean, there's definitely different temptations in whatever we do.
Now, were you part of the team too, or are you just the filmmaker?
I actually was. I joined for a while and played for a couple years part time to fund my filmmaking career. My life as an independent filmmaker wasn't raking in the millions.
Right.
So I was doing that, a couple weekends here and there.
Yeah.
What kind of training? Like, I mean, how long do you have to actually train for this? I mean, obviously for a while, right?
Yeah, the training is pretty intense. What they do is once you've flown to Seattle to meet with them and everyone agrees that they're willing to, meet with you, they give you a couple $1,000 and just say, hey, go out to your local casino. This is what the game should look like. Here's some of the, it's a chart. Mm-hmm. So basically there's, basic blackjack and then there's all the deviations. And so they want you to memorize the deviations. I think I probably trained for at least 60 hours prior to, and then there's a test out.
They give you a test.
Then you fly up to
Just
Seattle.
Just very dramatic for you.
I heard someone else actually had a mental breakdown as well. Yeah.
It can be very stressful. So after you've had your 100, hours of practice or whatever, you have to perform then and actually be able to, count cards and do all the cards, play everything perfectly in front of them in a casino environment.
Yeah.
So that could be very, it was stressful for you.
Right? Yeah, yeah. It's pretty stressful. I heard from a lot of the people on the team that it's one of the more stressful experiences. But it's very intense, and they put you in different casino environments, and then they each take you out. They try to throw you off. They want to make sure you can command the table, which basically means, can you stop the table? Upset, piss everybody off, basically. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry, dealer, I'm going to take this phone call. Oh, I can't take it at the table. Hold on 1 second. One of those type of things where you have to basically be able to manage and control the table and let everyone know at that table that you're in charge, because you have to be able to stop. If you've lost count, you need to go back to what the count was before that hand was dealt and, view all the cards and go back and redo everything, because we're dealing with thousands and thousands of dollars on the table. I think at one point I had 22 grand on one hand after all splitting so much.
Wow.
So, that it's kind of important to know what the count is and make sure that everything's on the up and up. So test out, very important.
Right.
What do you guys look for when you're part of the group? Like certain skills, obviously, what would they be?
I think originally they were thinking anybody could do it. They'd kind of dumbed down blackjack to a level where it was the most basic card counting you could do. It was something that anybody with enough time could do. It just took a lot of practice.
Yeah.
For some people, it took more than others. That's probably the biggest thing.
It's like stress. I can't imagine went through. And like 22 grand on a hand.
Right.
Like, oh, my God.
There's a lot of adrenaline coursing through the veins.
That's what's exciting, though, too. I mean, I know I've played a few of those hands where you have the whole table covered and you're playing all 7 spots and you've split everything and you've doubled down on everything. And that point, it's kind of like, I hope we win this hand. And when the dealer busts, you actually do get excited then, clean out the whole chip tray and they have to bring more chips. That's probably the best feeling.
Oh, it's awesome to watch security walk down with a bunch of chips
because
they can't pay you.
Oh,
I love it.
Really?
Funny.
Now, let me ask you this. How when you count cards, can they know?
Oh, yeah, they know.
They know right away?
Yeah.
Some know right away. Some...
Depends
some
on
place,
where you go.
Yeah,
how do they know? Because you keep winning a lot? Is that
I got in trouble
or?
Once. And I wasn't counting cards. I happen to know numbers sometimes. I just know things.
Yeah.
And I Hustler Casino here. I got deep shit.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, I wasn't even doing anything. Because I couldn't do it for myself, but I was doing it for someone else.
Right.
And I was like, don't do it. And then I don't know, it just happened. And I'm like, I promise you, I just know numbers. It just happened. Yeah, I wasn't allowed back.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is...
It was scary. I was like, oh, shit. I didn't even do anything.
You didn't get taken in the back room or anything.
They brought me in security office.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was very interesting.
Intimidating.
And I wasn't allowed back in. And all my friends were inside. And I'm like, but I wasn't doing anything. But yeah. it was
They're intimidating, you know, the suits, and you know, you never know when someone's looking over your shoulder while you're sitting at the blackjack table.
I mean, it takes a lot of courage to actually do this with all these people around you, you know? I mean, I would be very, I get intimidated just walking around these tables, you know? So, now, so,
it's not for everyone. There's people that joined the team and that were off pretty quickly because, you know, it takes up thick skin, if you will. Like, if you get crushed by what do people think and, you know, are they looking at me and are they going to back me off? Or are they going to give me, you know, room food, beverage, limo? You know, what? Are they going to caught me in a suite or are they going to back me off? Like, you don't know why someone's walking up to you.
Right. Yeah.
They might be, you know.
You just got to keep it cool.
Yeah,
give me
the world.
Yeah. So how do they know when you're counting? What are some characteristics that, you know, give you away?
Well, first of all, they have the, we call it the eye in the sky. They've got, you know, cameras over every single table. So they're watching what we're doing, and they know what they're doing the same thing, but they're doing it with computers. We're just doing it.
Okay.
We're like, you know, using our brains.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So they have this exact, everything that we're doing, that's exactly what they're, that's why they make money.
I see.
So they're already doing it with all of their computer systems and the way they have the game set up. So they're set up to win. We're also set up to win if we use our brains and we understand how to beat the game. One of the tough things, like, for example, when I had that 22 grand on the table at the Venetian. Thank you, Venetian, for all that money. What happened was I was splitting. It was at the very end of the deck. I had a really high true count, and I was splitting tens. Mm-hmm. Well, when you've got a card, when you're playing 21 and you've got 20, and you split that 20.
That's crazy, isn't it?
That's a little on the crazy side,
right.
And that might be a little red flag.
Yeah.
So certain deviations, they know to look for. If you've got someone who's, I mean, splitting tens. Oh, I got another 10, split that. I got another 10, split that. Because I'm expecting aces and tens, and I'm expecting him to bust out.
Yeah.
Because he's got a six showing. So, you know, those things are kind of dead giveaways.
I see. Okay.
You would not normally do that.
The other biggest one is the bet size. So when you're counting cards, you're betting a very small amount when the count is bad. So you could be betting $25, $25, $25 for like 20 minutes straight.
Right.
And then all of a sudden when the count gets good, you could jump your bet to, you know,
like a thousand.
Two or three hands of 2,000.
Wow.
That's like.
So they can tell right away because of that.
That's kind of a big giveaway. Like nobody in their right mind jumps their bet that drastically.
Right.
So. But here's another thing though. It's like, okay, so you get in trouble for counting cards, but you can't prove that you're counting cards. So how?
Private property.
Yeah, there's nothing illegal about counting cards. It's perfectly legal everywhere.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. No, it's perfectly legal. Not illegal to use your, to add, subtract, multiply, and divide.
Right.
You know, you're not getting kicked out of a grocery store when you're trying to figure out what, Cheerios or Wheaties.
That's true. So they can't really stop you from that.
No. But they can refuse service to anyone.
It is all
private property. So that's the only, they won't even admit that it's, you know, that you're counting cards or, you know, but they're, and they're not allowed to call it cheating either.
They call us advantage players.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Your style of play, you know, the comment is like, your style of play is too good for us. We're going to have to ask that you leave.
Or you can play anything but blackjack.
Oh, really?
Why don't you go play roulette?
I don't want to play roulette.
How about some slot machines?
So now, do they accost you while you're at the table? I mean, they would walk up to you and say something?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
They want you out of there. They don't want one more cent to go into your pocket.
Really? Even when there's other people
middle
at the table and everything?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
We've had some altercations.
And, really?
You know, there's a different, there's levels of how nice to how severe it can be. I mean, the most mild is, like we said, you know, can you play, you can play anything else. Come play a roulette table.
Right.
And the most extreme would be, you know, taking them in the back room and handcuffing them and holding them against their will until, you know, for an hour or so and kind of questioning them, taking their picture, interrogating them.
Wow.
No beating or anything, but.
And they can do that, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, they're not really supposed to hold you against your will. I mean, legally.
But it's Vegas.
Yeah.
And it's shady.
They get away with a little more on tribal land, too, honestly.
Yeah.
They have their own police system there. And more stuff has happened there than, than the Vegas casinos.
Have you played at any of the Indian casinos,
Morongo?
Too?
Morongo.
Really?
Yeah, I've been to Morongo. Yeah. I lasted 20 minutes. I was so bummed. Drove all the way out there, 20 minutes. And then they flyered us. They flyered me all over Palm Springs.
Really?
Uh-huh. They connected and flyered everywhere. I was like, oh, so it kind of killed the trip, if you will. But
what about changing, like, wearing wigs?
I've been known to wear a wig.
Do they have, like, what, face recognition on their cameras?
They'd like to think they do, but not so much.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. Now, weren't you afraid to do this in the beginning? I mean, you know, obviously, you know, casinos are intimidating, you know.
You know, there's a level of intimidation. I'm a pretty strong personality, so I can take it. I don't think it's for every single person.
Right.
And I'm not going to lie. I mean, you walk in, and I'll tell you what, you have adrenaline. I mean, you're sweating.
I would imagine.
Know, your wet palms. Yeah. I mean, you walk up, and you, I mean, you have adrenaline. I mean, literally, yeah. I would say I go to Vegas for the weekend. And I would eat the richest foods and the most decadent stuff because they would comp everything. They thought we were they thought we were high rollers, not card counters, right? So they're giving us all this money and all this food and everything. And I would lose 5 pounds because of the adrenaline that was just going through. So yes, it's very nerve-wracking to walk up to a table. Once you start to establish a little bit of comfort, and if you can sit there and play for an hour or two, you get a lot more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Really? Wow.
Yeah.
So I mean, so you guys must have made pretty good money, right? I mean, for a while.
I guess we should explain how that works, the pay.
Yeah, I was wondering that.
Because you mentioned the greed thing, so I wanted to actually touch base on that a little
bit. Okay.
So we actually were paid hourly. Do you mind if I
jump in? No, please.
Okay, so we were paid hourly.
Really?
We were paid per game. We did not win the proceeds.
Wow.
So if you will, the team is set up with what we call a bankroll. So there's investors that invest in this bankroll. Okay. We're not gamblers. We are card counters. So what we do is we take investors' money and we perform a service for them. Mm. We play the way that they've asked us to play, and we get paid accordingly.
Okay.
So if it's a 6 deck, we get paid a certain amount. If it's a double deck, a single deck, we get paid differently. If how much do they cut off? Do they cut off a quarter of the deck, one deck, 1 1/4, 1 1/2, 2 deck? I mean, we had to literally mark down in our iPhones or whatever how much are they cutting off of each deck, because that also depended on how we were going to get paid. Also, what type of a game? Is it a hit or is it stand? So hit or stand 17 was...
There's a bunch of factors. So like basically whatever casino, whatever game you went and played, you got paid differently.
Oh, okay.
And you could go in and win or lose 50 grand and get paid the same amount.
Yeah, because it's not really your money. Yeah,
that's
I understand. You're just doing the service for
So them. We might get paid $60. We might get paid $200.
Right.
Just depends
now, at
on
a certain point, you probably realized, hey, you know, we're making all this money for other people. Let's make it for ourselves. I mean, you're taking a big risk.
Yeah.
That's
or what about
problem.
Percentages? Like, wouldn't you take a percentage of whatever you win?
Later on, they started, you know, at one point the team did start paying more based on how well the team as a whole did.
Okay.
It wasn't your personal performance, but, you know, if the team did really well and they closed their bankroll quickly and made a lot of money, you would get paid more.
Mm.
You can't, I mean, again, you can't do it for yourself because nobody had 200 grand of their own money.
Right.
So, they couldn't go out and play on their own.
Right.
Yeah.
But within the team, I figure, you know, I mean, everybody puts in the money, you win, and then you...
Oh, yeah. Some of the players were investors.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were investors on the team.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how did you find them through the church, investors as well? Or
they would, I don't know. Actually, that was up to the Ben and Colin and the management really are the ones who established the investors, so they could be relatives, friends, people on the team. It was actually a very close circle. They wouldn't just let anyone, we wouldn't just say, hey, you want to invest in this team.
Right.
It was a very close circle of investors.
And it wasn't, everybody wanted in. It wasn't hard to find investors.
Yeah,
couple years, they were returning, 110% return on
really?
Money per year.
So awesome.
It was ridiculous returns. Like, I wanted in. I got in right. That's the first thing I did was invest in the team before I was involved in
really?
Any other way.
Wow.
Yeah. I would do it.
It was great.
I invested as well, and it made us money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
wow.
It was great.
Yeah. Do you guys still have any of that money, or did you spend it all?
I used it for my, filmmaking career I partially paid for this movie by, the money I made off of the blackjack team and, helped, with my family and, paid for just bills and stuff, I think.
Yeah, amazing.
I'm
wow.
pretty broke right now after making this film.
Yeah.
That's all right. It's going to do well, so you'll make tons.
Yeah. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Shirley and Brian. They're
Card Counting Christians.
Card Counting Christians.
Holy
Thank
Rollers.
You very much. And the movie is Holy Rollers. And so you guys have been counting cards, making money, blah, blah, blah. Now, I always wondered... It's a lot of mental effort, right? I mean, to be counting this. And you got to count every card on the table, right?
Mm.
Wow.
It's not so much keeping track of, every card that's come out as it's just keeping track of a running count, high-low. So when you see certain cards, you raise your count up or down. So you're just keeping one running tally in your head the whole time.
Oh.
So that number could be going up, 3, 4, 5, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And so you're just keeping track of what that number is. Based on the cards you've seen, you don't have to memorize specifically, I just saw
each
two
card,
aces
right.
and I just saw a nine. It's the counting part is actually probably the most the most simple. I think you could probably pick that up in, you know, an hour or two.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, I would. This is fascinating.
I know. We gotta
we'll teach you guys.
Yeah, we gotta get join. A deck of cards.
I mean, I used to play Lady Luck, and I thought I was the devil with that.
Well, it sounds like you are Lady Luck. You got kicked out of a casino, though.
Yeah, but it's also playing Lady Luck at 3 a.m. when it's like you're drunk, and as soon as you hand me those those chips, I'm sliding them in my purse or putting them in weird places, and I'm like, I'm out. Oh my God, I'm playing dumb. I'm like, I need to play more. And I used to come home with thousands of dollars.
Really?
Wow. I was bad.
Yeah.
I was really bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that in Vegas or Atlantic City?
Vegas.
Really?
I called it Lady Luck. I'll be your Lady Luck. But I used to like come onto the guy and they would think they're getting some and like whatever. And I would throw it on hard and I'd be like, in my pocket. Oh, yeah. And I used to come. I had so much fun doing this.
I'm sure.
And I stopped for a while because I was like, all right, it's getting a little. But it was fun. I wish I had known you guys when you guys were doing this because that would have been awesome.
There's still time.
So a little bit about the film.
Yes.
So after you guys have been doing this for a while, you decided you're going to document this?
Right. They were doing it for a while. And just so people know, too, it's called Holy Rollers, The True Story of Card Counting Christians. There's another movie about Hasidic Jews dealing ecstasy.
I just noticed that, and I was like, I'm on the wrong
that's
one.
That's called
also, is that called Holy Rollers,
too? That's also called Holy Rollers. So ours has the tagline. That movie came out while we were already, this was a four-year process, so we were in the middle of it, and we said, oh, man, we can't find a better title. We like the title. They stole it. But it's Holy Rollers, The True Story of Card Counting Christians, and the trailer and everything's at holyrollersthemovie.com.
Yes, you guys can go and check it out while we're talking about this.
It's been a long process, and they were already doing, really well with the team, and the team was already, everything was happening. They were playing, they were counting, they had a large team, and I finally said, okay, I got to make a movie about this. I was a little scared off at first because I wasn't sure how we were going to get access inside of casinos. And
That's what I was going to ask. I mean, did they allow you to go into casinos and stuff?
We made quite a few phone calls, and we did get a few, that approved us, gave us permission to come in. The rest of it, there was button cam, hidden camera stuff, and, all sorts of, crazy ways of trying to get, sending my friends in with little cameras until they got asked to leave, Then I'd send another guy in with the same camera, do it two or three times.
Keep changing tapes so they can't take the cameras.
Yeah, exactly.
They got the tapes.
Exactly.
Like that.
Just getting, you get 1 or 2 minutes of footage each time.
Nice guerrilla filming.
So, we had to do all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, I mean, it takes guts to do this stuff, I'm like so straight and stuff, I can't do any of this.
Biggest bullshitter you've ever met.
It's like, it's like just don't get me in trouble,
When it comes to like filming and you've got all this footage, you're like, I'm not getting it because I've done a lot of that guerrilla filming because cops will just take it.
Oh, totally. They're not supposed to, but
they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did get, I had about 5 cop cars pull around me and all jump out pulling their guns on me at once.
Really?
Oh my God.
I want to hear that story.
Yeah,
Ryan.
No, it was at a casino. I was outside a casino.
Wow.
I don't know if the casino called or what, but evidently someone had called in that there was a guy outside waving a gun around.
Oh my God.
They pulled up and drop the gun. And I just, calmly tried to tell them it wasn't a gun and, lowered the camera, but I think there was something else that the casino had called in because they wanted to see the footage and they, kind of like held me and were really upset that I was, with a camera outside. How could I be there,
So this is not like illegal, right? I mean, that's the whole thing about this. It's like, it may be unethical, but who cares about the casenos, right?
I don't know about unethical.
Plenty of money.
Either.
It's not unethical either, right? You're right.
Yeah, talk to me about that.
We can talk through some of this.
That's true. I mean, if you know how to play, what the hell? You deserve
to
win.
You're smarter than them.
Yeah.
Not your
problem. That's true, yeah.
That's the biggest thing, though, I mean, people automatically do assume that there's something illegal, and that there's something wrong with it, especially morally, and this being a group of Christians doing it.
Right.
It does raise a lot of questions and
concerns. Yeah, like cheating and things like that. But that's the point. Yeah. You're not really cheating.
No.
I mean, you're playing the game.
I mean,
in your
it
own
should
way.
Raise concerns, too, because it's not a black and white issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, even for Christians, like, it's not something that's discussed in the Bible.
Right.
So it's something that's very. It's a gray issue, and it's something that everybody had to deal with on their own. And if, people that don't have questions about it concern me almost just as much. The people that, the Christians and the pastors that say, oh, that's awesome, that's amazing, and they don't have any questions, that's almost just as concerning to me as the guy who says, that's sin, you're going to hell.
Yeah.
Because I think questions should be asked about it, yeah, for sure.
Right. Yeah, especially you wouldn't be able to trust everyone that's like in the group as well, because mm-hmm. there's so much. I mean, God, I can yeah. imagine. That's so
wow.
Awesome.
What? I mean, this is like a loophole, you know? I mean, think about this, you know? It's like you can
genius.
Do. Yeah, you're doing something to make a lot of money.
Genius.
Yeah, and you know, there's no consequences. I mean, what the hell? So they throw you out of the casino, no big deal. You know, so but you've been burned in all the casinos by now, right?
Yeah, I don't really see the loophole, because if you know, if you look in the Bible and you look at what God talks about, he doesn't talk about gambling. Mm. I mean, quite frankly, if someone wants to spend $100 and go out on a date night instead of going to the movies and dinner, if they want to go out to the local casino and spend $100 on their slot machine,
right?
I mean, so be it.
Right.
You know, what the Bible does talk a lot about is having idols, or basically worshiping
something else
other than God. Exactly. So if you're worshiping this, you know, this greed and this desire to, mm-hmm. you know, get rich quick scam or something like that, I mean, this is not a get rich quick scam. No one is wealthy from the team. And if they are, they certainly did not make their money from being on the team. What this was really an hourly paid wage.
Wow.
And it was, you know, they were paid enough that they could go do it in a week. Of a week's worth of work, and then go back home and be able to fund their ministries.
Right.
So, and again, they were not the ones who were receiving all the rewards from it. If, you know, 50 right. grand went, was won, they would turn that money into
it
the
has
team.
To go to right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But they still, but you still made decent money, right? But
yeah, it was anywhere from, I mean,
but the key was to be an investor, right? I mean, that's what you want to do.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
The money wasn't in the investing, for
sure. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you became an investor for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Indeed.
Awesome. What about you? Were you an investor as well, Brian?
Yes, I put some money in right away, and then I also, you know, I think I probably did make more off the investment than off of the actual playing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Wow. So are you guys still part of this or not anymore?
No, not anymore.
Yeah, the team just recently folded. Well, didn't fold. They decided to close. They decided to shut down. But also, I mean, I think I had like a 2-year lifespan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you kind of outgrow it and whatever.
Yeah,
you
know, well,
she's everywhere. She can't go anywhere anymore.
Yeah. There's a picture of me when you walk in the back room of the casino.
So that was another thing, you know, with her trying, you know, she was wearing disguises and stuff. There were actually people on the team that were against that from a moral standpoint.
Really?
It just goes to show like the very wide range of beliefs on the team.
Yeah.
People, you know, that's one question that's been brought up is like, that isn't that, you know, deceitful?
No.
What do you think about that?
I would change my hair color.
Thanks, Brian.
I want to hear your answer.
I'm on the hot
seat. Not to point fingers here. Right.
Yeah, I was actually very comfortable wearing wigs and changing my hair color.
Mm-hmm.
I had no problem with it. So for me, I felt like I had no issue with what I was doing, and I didn't necessarily change it and go back into a casino I was asked not to go into. One thing I stuck by was if they asked me not to come back, I did not come back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Other people on the team had varying degrees of that. I liked to wear the wig because I thought it was fun and it was exciting and I could change my appearance.
Yeah.
Oh, and side note, I also happened to know that they would probably recognize me if I walked in without the wig.
Right.
But you know what? To me, I was just like, that's okay. I'm doing the same thing. There's nothing illegal in Las Vegas about, you know, playing cards, because they're playing cards. But they get to win.
Yeah.
So I've got no problem walking in and playing the same game they are.
Right.
And beating them.
It's the same game they're doing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, how is it that they win more than the people? How does that work? You know, specifically with blackjack, let's say.
Well, really, it's all a mathematical equation. Mm-hmm. So there might be times where they might pay someone out some money. That person might get lucky. But they know that the graph, whether even if it goes down, over time, it's going to go up.
Right.
So it's basically a mathematical equation that they have figured out that the house has the advantage.
Mm-hmm.
When we walk in, we have the advantage because we have the same equation and we know when to bet and when not to bet, how much to bet, when to raise our bets, when to split, those kinds of deviations to do.
Right. Now, do they count the cards, the dealers? Do you think they count?
No, they're not counting. They're not counting.
Right.
But what I'm saying is the way that they've set the game up, it's a game that is set up for the house to have the advantage. Mathematically, they understand that they have the advantage.
What we do is
go in and take the mathematical advantage away from them and put it to our side.
Right.
And there's times where we're going to go in and lose. We're going to go in and lose 50 grand in a sitting sometimes.
Really?
But we know that with all the people playing and that over time, we're going to, that's always going, the number's always going to go back up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's math. It's all math.
Yeah, and I think it's also because the casinos never have to get up and leave. You know, they can play indefinitely. Mm-hmm. And I think if you play indefinitely in the long term, you probably will win, right?
Right, 24 yes. hours
yeah.
a day.
Yeah.
Yep. 7 days a week.
It's a thing. It's like the reasons that we lose is we run out of money at the table mm-hmm. and we just leave. But they don't run out of money.
Yeah. You know? You'd so be surprised how many people have, you know, in articles or in comments on, you know, things about the film, how many people have been upset that we are taking money from the casino,
right?
You know, that this casino, wow. you know, that, you know, this honorable business, you know, this wonderful, you know, gift to humanity is being robbed by us. And how could you take money from this honorable business,
yeah.
You know, and put it in your own pockets?
Yeah.
The other comment, you know, that's brought up is like, well, aren't you taking money from the poor people? You're just taking it from them. And I, you know, I say they're giving it anyway. They're,
yeah. right.
you know, they're there regardless yeah. of whether we go in the casino or not.
They're anyway.
Like they're,
exactly.
you know, they're there, you know, the casino's robbing them, you know, blind and, you know, yeah. taking all their mm-hmm. money. And they're going to do that whether we come in or not.
Yeah.
We're just taking
you
a little bit
take
of that
money.
Money.
It's
no,
not like
not
poker
directly
or
at all.
Anything.
No, you yeah. play against the house right. all the time. You're never playing against another player.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I mean, that makes sense. So, now, the film, a little bit more about this. How long is the film?
It's 91 minutes. It's feature length. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's we've been touring, you know, film festivals with it for the last, you know, several months and played, I think, like 35 film festivals. And
really?
It just came
okay.
out. It's
wow.
been
congratulations.
It's been in the top 10 on iTunes for the top 10 documentaries for a couple weeks now.
Really?
Awesome. Congratulations.
Top 10 yeah. independent film as well. So.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, Amazon.com, too.
It's all over. Yeah, it's all over. Yeah,
it's good.
It's
And had you made movies before this one?
I'd worked on a lot. I hadn't directed one, you know, a feature-length documentary like this, but I'd done a lot of other work on documentaries for sure.
Yeah.
Now, is this kind of thing, I don't have no idea about Sundance or anything. Have you tried to get it in there? Or are you going
yeah,
to?
Yeah, it's,
or?
Well, Sundance is kind of a,
does it
once,
fit in there?
Well, no, it yeah. could have. I mean, yeah. I didn't submit there, but honestly, I mean, it's very hard to get in, and once you, play anywhere else, they don't want it.
Okay.
So if you've already screened your film at any other festival, yeah, and it just wasn't the right timing for us.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to premiere in Seattle since most of the team is based there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from there originally, so that was our like goal, and we, you know, did our mm-hmm. world premiere up there at the Seattle International Film Festival.
That's
so.
Awesome.
And how long did it take to make the film?
It was good 3 years of shooting and another, you know, year of, you know, it was 4 years total.
But wow, that's a long
yeah,
time,
yeah, it was
huh?
a very long project.
Wow.
But, you know, part of it, too, was that I had to agree to not release the film until they were ready.
Right.
Because
right.
we didn't want it to ruin their business.
Right.
Yep.
So that was, you know, one thing going in. I knew it could be up to 10 years.
Yeah.
I just mm-hmm. had to deal with that and say, okay, I don't want to wait 10 years to release a project, but I have to be okay with that if it mm-hmm. comes down to it. And I, you know, got lucky. It was a little less than that, but there was times when I thought it would be 10 years and I wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, I was definitely working part-time for 4 years. I would stop for several months and not do anything on it and,
yeah.
you know, then come back and do a week or two of work and, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, can people learn? I mean, obviously, people can learn how to count cards and stuff. Are there, like, resources? I mean, does the movie teach you?
Yeah.
It does?
There's a little bit.
I'm just going to go back and Google
There is a little
shit.
Bit. No, Google.
I'm going to be like, who wants to? Because I'm going to Florida
right.
soon.
Yeah, what the hell? You know, I don't care not
I
to
don't
be.
I don't really care.
Yeah, exactly. Don't allow me in any casinos anymore after I make some money for it.
The guys have a website now, blackjackapprenticeship.com.
Nice.
You can check that out.
And they teach
people. Yeah, you get all sorts of lessons. There's free videos on there and stuff.
Really?
And I smell a reality show.
Yeah, no, there's been interest for
I like your style. I think the guys would like that too.
Are you going to come back for the reality show?
Absolutely not.
No? You don't want to play again?
I'm
What would it
I'm
take
over.
To get you back to the tables?
Some new wigs, maybe?
Yeah. You could do international play. We haven't moved into that realm.
Yeah,
we
could do that.
Say.
Well, we had an issue with that. There's a story behind it.
Well, if we have a television, you know, company behind us and we go to, you know, say the Bahamas for a month and film, you know, that would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm in.
But we did have do you want to tell that we did have, you know, trouble with international.
Yeah, I've only heard the story. I guess one of the guys on the team was crossing the border into Canada or out of Canada into Canada, and you know, with $100,000 or something like that, or $80,000.
Yeah, it was $100,000.
It was $100,000, and it was seized.
Really?
We had some really specific rules on how we had to carry the money. We should tell you about it because it's kind of cool how we went through security and stuff. But
and that's one of the biggest things is dealing with, you know, if you think about, like, I don't know, most people haven't seen $100,000 cash. or don't realize what that's like to, you know, carry that. But you had to stuff that in your pockets. You know, you had to sneak through airport security with that, because there's nothing wrong with carrying the money, but if you get, you know, if somebody catches you with that kind of money, they assume it's drug money.
Right.
Like, that's the first thing they assume.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, we've been, you know, detained by FBI, you know, CIA, like, local police, all sorts of stuff because of, you know, under the assumption that, you know, this money has something to do with drugs.
Or the fact that it's not, you're carrying it with you, so you're not, it's just shady because it's not in the bank.
Right.
And no one knows about it.
Nobody carries that kind of money.
Yeah, nobody
It's ridiculous.
That.
Like, it's stupid, right?
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, there's no,
I don't know what the hell I would make up, but I make up a good story.
The only time you have to, you
just sold a card. It was
You know, actually, we would tell the truth. And
really?
We would give them the contact information and verify. I mean, we're, you know, 1099. This is, you know, completely on the up and up. We pay taxes on this. The, you know, it's a whole business that is is taxed, and, you know, we're legit.
Yeah.
Okay. So we would we would actually say, here's my checking account. Here's where the funds came from. Verify.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just that it's, you know, it's a bummer if you're like, hey, I'm supposed to be at the tables right now making money and I'm being detained by FBI or, you know, local police or something.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, we are out of time. Shirley, thank you so much. Brian, thank you so much.
Yes.
You guys have been very entertaining. And everybody go to holyrollersthemovie.com.
Yes.
And you can find out all about it.
And the Twitter is, again, I just lost
it. HolyRollers21.
HolyRollers21.
And they can, I guess they can buy the DVD on the website as well and stuff. So so that's it. Well, thank you so much, guys.
Yeah,
again,
thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Have a safe trip back to San Diego.
Thanks.
And Brigetta, thank you.
And
we'll see you all tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigetta is an LA Talk Radio production where we say what we want.